I'm 24. Mr. Knowles, my name is Jack Bauer. Jonas Hodges is in possession of a military-grade bioweapon. I was contaminated when trying to intercept the canisters. I promise you, sir, the weapon is on your base. Do you have any idea where they might be?
I think I might.
I have an order from the President of the United States
to search this building.
Are there weapons of mass destruction? Are there weapons of any kind?
You've got 5 minutes to get these helicopters flying out of here with all of you on board.
Larry, I want you and your men to pull out on Hodges' timetable. Tony, you're going to need to find a way to stay behind. We're going to get your vectors over to a man that we contacted inside Starkwood. His name is Douglas Knowles. He believes he knows where the weapons are.
Stay here. I'll be right back.
We need a back!
Bioagent is more virulent than we thought. All we're doing here is just masking the symptoms.
I understand.
There's something you may want to consider.
What's that?
A possible treatment using stem cells from a genetically compatible donor. I saw your file and it says you have a daughter.
I don't want my daughter involved in this.
Jack, it should be her choice.
No, it's not. I'm the one who's dying.
I'm in. But the god knows.
A little loyalty. Wasn't that the least I deserved?
You can't take on the federal government.
I have a visual on the weapon.
Okay, those are the canisters.
We'll notify Admiral Smith. Target is located and confirmed.
You remember Starkwood was deployed to Pakistan? That we requisitioned a missile system at that time?
Well, three of those missiles are now loaded with a pathogen and aimed at cities on our eastern seaboard.
You will keep this conversation to yourself and turn the planes around.
And if you do not comply, Madam President, I will have no choice but to launch those missiles.
Abort the airstrike, Admiral Smith.
Ma'am, with all respect.
Damn it, Admiral! Abort the airstrike immediately!
I'm Howard Gordon, executive producer of 24. To the left of me is sitting
Carlos Bernard. Hi.
Jeffrey Nordling. Hello.
Well, I will start out with an apology and appreciation to Jeffrey Nordling for taking one for the team.
You know, David Sinanj told me early.
Who?
I said,
Don't spend your money, that's what he said.
No. I said, I've been cooped up in the FBI thing. The whole seat, you know, I want to get out there. And he said, you know what? That's where the bullets fly. So I'd be grateful you're in here. he was right.
We've blown up a building or two in our time, so no one's safe.
All right, I want to say one thing. I'm not apologizing to Jeffrey.
Of course he's not.
No, neither is Manny Cotto.
Yeah.
And he wrote the episode, probably.
Well, you know, we all take the credit and take the blame for all this. But the point is that, and it was actually Kiefer as well. I mean, we've been flirting with this idea, and you know, it really obviously comes out of the idea of Tony, and is Tony good or bad? And he comes back as a bad guy, and of course everyone is so proud of themselves that we couldn't really be bad. And when he's resurrected, as he is in episode 3 of this year, and we were finding ourselves in this kind of conundrum. We have this, you know, fan favorite and writer favorite character who's back, and frankly, he was just becoming kind of like, you know, Cato to the Green Hornet. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot for this character to do, and to land. And then when we decided, without the accent or the karate.
Right. Well, some of the karate, but not the accent.
I was making a point, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was illustrating a point, I should say. But the point is,
I love the Green Hornet, by the way.
So did I.
And let me tell you something. Cato is the reason I started taking martial arts when I was a little kid. I loved Cato and the Green Hornet. So actually, I'm okay with Cato.
Was Cato Bruce Lee?
Cato was Bruce Lee.
Yeah. But all of which is to say that when we made this very bold decision, I think, to actually determined that Tony was not really a good guy playing a bad guy playing a good guy, but was really a guy who had gone over to the dark side for reasons which we articulate obviously later down in the season. It had to be a big moment. It had to be a moment that really was born in something that really was a game changer for this show. And you know, the chips fell where, you know, Larry, who was a very pivotal character this year.
Yeah, so, my disappointment, and I've forgiven you, by the way.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I've forgiven you. My disappointment was, I felt like from say episode 10 or 11 on, my character just kind of just shifted into a new gear, and I really started getting to know the character and thinking like the character and finding him And it to me, it was just such a shame to kill a great character like that. But I know what you were doing.
You couldn't have me kill security guard number two.
Right, right. It had to be something that would mean something. Obviously, the reasons for the design is there. And I think also 24 has had this contract, I mean, from season one, where it's exactly those very significant and sort of syncopated losses that we, you know, the viewers suffer that actually make it, real, interesting, dangerous, and full of stakes.
When are you killing this guy? I'm kind of tired of watching him, personally.
You too? I think Kiefer, I think part of him would really like that.
Well, he says that, but...
Right. So, Howard, is she president next year?
Yeah, she's definitely president. The question is, we don't know whether we'll actually, when and if and how we'll see the character. I mean, the White House is a peculiar and tricky place because we've exhausted the archetype and some of the many archetypes that happen in the halls of power. So it's a challenging thing. The fact that this year came out as well as it did, and I'm really, really pleased, particularly with the way the show, the last six episodes are actually my favorite ones involving the White House story.
Mm-hmm. And the White House is surprisingly easy to infiltrate, as we've seen this year.
Remarkably enough.
Who knew that those things under there from the Revolutionary War, apparently, or something?
Well, it was a production design choice, but, in fact, Washington is a swamp. And so we wanted it to look more swampy and less... It felt like an underwater cave, a little, not quite the way we'd imagined, but...
It was supposed to be sewage, wasn't it?
Kind of sewage-y, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, what were you guys talking about?
I like your shirt.
We're taping this as... what episode aired last week? Was it six or five?
Well, yeah, six.
Six, and I just thought Terry Jones was absolutely breathtaking in that.
Yeah, she's really
hit me. She hit the stride, and... You saw the vulnerable side of her, which I thought was just amazing.
I mean, again, the challenge in my own feeling about Cherry to this point in the series, at least in episode six, which just aired last week, was that it is fairly functional. She doesn't have any kind of human locators, really, until the second half of the season. So, again, that she can do this so credibly.
Yeah, but still, even in the first few episodes, she still had that vulnerability there that... that she basically had to work above, right?
Yeah, I was talking to John Cassar, and we were talking about sort of what's the quality, and it's strange, but her, she's the first president, good, bad, or otherwise, who really listens.
Yeah.
She listens, and I guess that's...
She does. She
maybe it sounds like a sexist
really well.
Thing, but maybe that's a female, maybe that's one
it's
of...
It's also, she's just a wonderful actor.
Yeah.
She just normally... See, right here in this scene... Jack is being Larry. See, we've switched here. He's talking into phones.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's also been infected at this point, which is, again, it was it's always a tricky thing, and I know it presented Kiefer with a series of challenges here. There is a bit of a do-si-do in the character.
Yeah, I started calling it Larry speak, like the top of episode six this past week. It just starts going with that, and it's difficult to memorize. And I also had some really fun things to say, like a dark gray Jeep Grand Cherokee.
A dark gray Jeep Grand Cherokee. Say it three times fast.
That's...
And Gatorade chips, which, Nicole started calling Gatorade chips.
Gatorade chips.
There's John.
Big Bad John. He was having fun.
He really was.
Great time.
He was just oozing evil.
And this Corey Cochran.
Yeah.
Who played Seton.
Rory,
I'm sorry.
Rory Cochran.
Terrific. And, again, to the extent that these guys had chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
He was really, Rory really just brought this kind of, you didn't know what to make of him.
Right.
He seemed
kind
of a spineless weasel, and then you kind of think, all right, he's actually going to, pull out a gun and shoot you. You just didn't quite know what to make of him.
Sounds to me like the president didn't actually authorize this.
Who has that wonderful voice? Oh, look at that.
Who is that handsome man on the left of the screen?
He's about to die.
Larry, do you have a problem with this?
I think I look good outside the FBI, don't you think?
I think you look... striking and commanding. Mm-hmm.
Don't, Larry, go in the helicopter. Don't go in, or at least kick Carlos out.
Jeffrey, did you know Larry Moss? Do you know Larry Moss, the acting teacher?
I actually got.
You know, there's a very famous acting teacher named
Larry Moss. I actually got a message to him. I got a message to him. I said, you know,
you're going to be a
yours truly, Special Agent Larry Moss, Commander in Charge.
Tony, is Jack, do you copy?
Yeah, I'm here.
You were right about the missiles. The president confirmed it. We're going to have to carry this out as a covert operation. Larry and his men are standing by to lock down Starkwood as soon as the missiles have been destroyed.
Good.
Tony, I need to know that you can do this without being detected. I've just given his men standing orders to launch those missiles if there's a breach of any kind.
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay. Good luck.
I don't know at what point we told you, Carlos, that I don't know if you at this point you were playing. Was that challenging or is that hard to play, like knowing that the reality of the character?
That he was going to be turned bad, so to speak?
Yeah.
No, because I had always... it doesn't matter what you tell me. I'm playing the same thing.
Right.
Which is the history of the character and what the character wants, mm-hmm. you know? And... I'm playing the layers of what I want
in that
moment. Character to be carrying with him, you know? So really, it doesn't matter to me if you think what I'm doing is good or if you think what I'm doing is bad.
Never tip your hand either way.
And actually, you know, since season one, if you remember back the first six episodes,
sure, everybody
thought my character was the bad guy.
Right.
And you had pretty hair back then, too.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I still have some saved in my pocket, if you want. So.
Stuffed tennis balls with?
But back then I decided to allow for both possibilities in the show.
He didn't say put two fingers up. He said put your hands up.
Slowly. Kick it.
Does that really work? Does that really make somebody pass out?
Let me try.
Ow!
There you go.
You have to know, as from our, you know, meager purchase, it becomes harder and harder to figure out things to do that make, you know, blowing up fuel depots and
right, and make it more exciting.
And make it more exciting every time. But yeah. This came out remarkably well, though. I really, really was, I was pleased with it.
I mean, I say over and over, I can't believe that you guys have done it seven times now, seven seasons. It's just crazy, because. It's
well, all of us. I think the show still is, you know, is manned by people who still care. I mean, look, I think this film is, you know, it's still electric. Everyone is still putting everything into it, and I think that's it shows.
And I also think, and this is in no way a reference to myself. This is everybody. You cast it really, really well.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And that, you know, this season is just astonishing.
It's a phenomenal cast.
Yeah.
It really is.
You know,
it really is, and it's almost like it gets stronger every year, the cast.
You know, that's what I always say. If you're casting something and it's between a couple of people, whether there's a look or not, cast the better actor. You'll get more mileage.
Did you hear that, Howard?
There you go. There she is.
Mr. Hodges.
The president. This is Greg Seaton, my associate. He's a remarkable man. Doesn't look remarkable, but believe me, he's a genius.
Yes, I know.
I mean, John Voight was a real, real pleasure to work with as well.
Boy, he sure was.
Yeah, he was.
I mean,
up at 3 a.m. out at the airport. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You got to work with you. Worked,
oh yeah, yeah.
I forgot.
He took a fall over something. He hit his knee one night, and he just got up. He was fine. He put some ice on it and kept going.
Well, you know what he did with Seton? Oh no, with
Chris Mulkey.
Chris Mulkey.
Yes.
Did you hear what he beats him to death with a crystal, what's it called?
He didn't hit him, did he?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he hit him for real twice. Two takes in a row.
So it opened up. I think he got a bunch of stitches.
They were good friends before that. But I remember John, the first day I worked with John, I was in the makeup trailer, and he walks up to me, and he's like, what's your name? I said, hi, I'm Carlos. He goes, John, nice to meet you. He goes, who do you play? I go... I play Tony the Pizza Guy. And Rory's standing next to me. He goes, he plays Almeida, man. And he goes, he looks at me with these eyes. He goes, Tony Almeida. All right. And he starts playing the scene right there,
right,
in the makeup trailer.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, which was wonderful. And because he just loves to act.
That's old school. I mean, off camera, whatever.
He just loves to act, you know.
Paul Mazursky used to do that. We were walking down a hall. All of a sudden, he would just go, so listen, when you're coming over for dinner tonight, you know, I'm going, I'm coming up here. sorry, you're
the actor.
And so you're well aware that our nation's independence was won with the aid of private armies. And we can't...
It's great. Rory's great.
He's listening and processing.
You know, it's so funny. He's so good at listening. And I remember he was like, don't give me more lines. No, don't give me more. He didn't want more lines. And I kept screwing with him, saying, you know, this chunk right here, this paragraph,
that'd be good for you.
We're actually going to give it to you on this. He's like, no, man, I don't want any more lines. And you can see why. You can see what he was doing. It's really wonderful.
Yeah. And I will tell you that as a writer, because, I mean, it almost never happens in television. I don't know. I really can't speak to the movies, but when sort of the sum of the parts are, you know, greater than any of the individual parts, this show has this unique alchemy where everything just gets better with every step in the process.
Right.
You mean as the next stage? Yeah,
the next stage. Yeah, from editing, and then when Sean Callery puts the patina, you know, at the end,
really,
and suddenly what we thought was a really good episode suddenly becomes a great something that we were underwhelmed by.
I saw the rough cuts early on.
Yeah, you're going, okay, they're pretty good.
Yeah,
and then you watch them on air, and you hear them, and
great.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier about Janine Garofalo coming across so fantastic. She's wonderful.
Yeah, she really is.
She's nailed it, and not even owning a computer.
And again, if you look at the lines on the page, you realize how challenging it is to make that come alive and to, you know.
She says she doesn't own a computer.
Yeah,
I don't.
She's
believe
lying
her.
To.
I think she's lying to her and Kiefer both.
No, Janine is a nest full of liars. She doesn't own a computer.
Aren't actors liars in general?
Yeah, well, we're professional liars.
Professional liars.
All men are liars.
Howard, we're professional liars. We're paid to lie.
Oh, you are. Oh, you, man.
Let's go.
Come on, get up now, or I'll leave you down here. You don't want that. Believe me.
This is the sound of me hitting Carlos next week. Bastard.
Well, I didn't leave him down there to die. I thought that was pretty kind.
You're a kind character.
Yes.
It is one of those tricks, though, obviously, when, you know, it would have been just as easy to leave him down there, but we sort of needed this to happen. What's about to happen.
I think it sets up the Larry moment better, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Did you do your own stuff here?
It's all that martial arts training he took when he was six.
0363. It's a government breach.
Now, isn't this the same guy that was in the...
Dude, it is the same guy who was in... It's a real problem. And I don't even want to like... Can I take...
With Dubaku?
Yeah. No. Air traffic control.
Air traffic control. I thought that was the same guy.
This is a real oversight. You know, you want to hear the funny part? I'm looking at this guy and going, why do we keep casting, you know, these bald biracial guys in all these roles? And no wonder, because it's the same guy.
He's very good, but
he's terrific, but we had him as the air traffic control guy.
Oh, right. No.
You should have just put hair on him or something. But you didn't realize it until afterwards, obviously, right?
You know, Cross, I've been looking at this episode for months and not realizing what is it that's bugging me about it. I thought it was really just...
When did you realize it? Just now?
Just now.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
I realized it when I saw... we just did a DVD commentary of the first episode. I go, that's the guy who was in the thing.
So obviously he was a spy working in the air traffic control. That's what it is. Yeah, it's another layer of 24. You're not going to end the episode here.
We're gonna have to CG hair on him.
I see.
Oh, this isn't the real. Oh,
you
I see. It's not done yet.
Get down. That was a really fun explosion that night. We had. Sparks raining on her head. Oh, this, by the way, was my very last shot of 24.
was right here driving down. And then after we drove back up,
they had a reshoot with Reese.
No, they had a big cake for me up there.
Oh, I see.
This was my, that was it.
Tony, do you copy?
An explosion of that magnitude would have shorted out his comm. We're going to have to wait for Larry and his men to move in.
And then I had to come back as a corpse, and they didn't have another cake for me.
Wait, but didn't you do the final shot of the year with Reese?
Yes, I did, and I came back and did a scene.
And by the way, that really, really helped the episode.
And by the way, I was the very first scene of this season, and I was the very last scene of this season.
I remember.
It's like kind of a...
That's good trivia.
It makes me want to cry. It's so beautiful.
How do you cry easily?
Let's review the next section, which concerns Senate oversight of Starkwood field operations.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Madam President, but I need to speak with you.
Can it wait?
No, ma'am, it can't.
Will you excuse me for a moment?
Of course.
Of course. You're going to interrupt a meeting with me just because you're the president?
SATCOM has just detected a massive explosion on the Starkwood compound. The bioweapons facility has been destroyed.
Are you sure?
Yes, ma'am. Judging by the size of the explosion, nothing could have survived. But I don't know how this happened. This wasn't us.
Call FBI and have them lock down Starkwood.
They're already moving in.
Good. When this is over...
He lasted longer than you.
Who did, this guy?
Yeah, he's terrific. Tim Woods.
Did a great job.
Yeah.
A great job. I didn't get over to the White House too much. Although I did haul Madam President out amidst the explosions.
What the hell is this?
Put this document into evidence and take these men into custody.
What are you thinking? Have you lost your mind?
Jonas, we've taken out your missiles. It's over.
That's impossible.
It's the truth. And you're under arrest. You are a terrorist and a murderer.
He's going to go after her.
I think Cherry could take him.
I think they should have let him go. That would have been interesting.
A roundhouse kick, Cherry.
Did she slap? At one point, she slapped her.
Very big machine.
Hold on.
You can't even begin to imagine what you're up against.
What are you talking about?
You'll find out.
She slapped him?
He did this thing with his mouth. John did this thing with his mouth.
Pursed his lips? I'm
telling you what, man. There were a couple takes of a scene we were doing. I could not stop laughing. And it actually worked okay for the character at the time. Yeah, and it was just cracking me up because it was just perfect. You know, sometimes actors do things that are just so perfect for their character that I just start to laugh because it's just so perfect.
Right. Remember the scene where we're shooting out at the airport and we had exploded the door out and he had first arrived and he walks up and he looks at the door and he says, "This used to be a good door."
Yeah, right. Right. Will Patton was the same thing. He was doing this thing with his character that was the same thing at the
end. That's really funny. That's true.
Where it was this robotic, detached thing that it was so perfect. I lost it a couple times, but.
That was Marcy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Marcy Michelle.
Madam President.
Mr. Bauer, Jonas Hodges is under arrest.
That's good news. It's very good.
Poor woman had to play so many times. These
to a phone?
Into a phone, but it's over. Oh, it's not over. It's over. It's not over.
It's never over.
It was Tony Almeida who risked his life to destroy those missiles.
Don't believe it.
Well, you know, I did risk my life, and I did take out those missiles, so I don't know what you're all whining about.
Nothing. I'm not whining about anything. I'm okay.
Jack?
I'm sorry. I completely forgot what I was saying.
You were talking about Mr. Almeida, and my answer is yes, I will take his actions into account.
Thank you.
What's happening?
It's great. It's great to see Jack discombobulated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a great twist for that character.
Madam President, I appreciate this phone call. But I'm sorry, I have to go.
Of course.
Thank you. Jonas Hodges has been arrested. Let me know as soon as you got Tony. I need to go see Dr. Mace.
Yes, Madam President.
Call Ben Landry at
By the way, in the first episode, when we were shooting and Kiefer had the tie on, we were taking bets how long the tie would last on him.
And who won?
In the first scene.
Oh, he loosens it and throws it up, yeah.
Takes it off in the first scene. Right. I said, I knew he was going to do that.
I think one of the things we did too with Tony that I really I liked was that even when he was bad, or when we learned that he was sort of working with the CTU, that rogue CTU group, he'd had this bad history. It wasn't clean. And I think also, you know, similarly with Larry Moss, I mean, you know, it's a peculiar character because someone who's going up against Jack, and I think, you know, how do you play that as an actor too, who's, you know, I make this character credible, likable, but I'm going toe to toe again with the star of the show, who, well, you know,
that's but I mean that's why the character of Renee was so key in there, because there was a. We're pulling her both ways. And
right.
That's something to latch onto as an actor, especially that kind of nebulous relationship that my character had with her.
Mm-hmm. I thought she did a great job of straddling that fence. I mean, of you know, playing a character like this that could easily be seen as sort of a heel
right.
in the show, but doesn't come off that way.
Well, when I started,
very likable, and I think that when he in this episode, I think the fans actually will be
moved by the
by him
yeah
dying.
And by the way, it happens yeah. in episode 16 where he says to Jack, yeah, this is kind of a graceful moment, and he's kind of come around to a place when he actually tells Jack he can't come with him on this mission.
Right,
it's a compassionate moment.
Don't take him with you Larry. Don't get on that chopper. No. But I decided early on that I couldn't do James Morrison. You can't outdo what he did. I mean, there's
right,
no
right.
duplicating that. He was magnificent. That incredible quality. So I had to go a different direction. And I.
Well, I think, you know, you said it early on, too, that I think even The Office is different. The fact that he's running FBI mm-hmm. in the wake of the sort of tone of the season, which is a Law and Order by right. the book.
There's a growling quality I kind of found after a while about him that mm-hmm. that he gets angry easily, but he keeps a lid on it. He's strung real tight.
This is Christina, who's back after what she was in
season
three. Four?
Three.
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 Yeah.
I did a movie with her.
Dr.
She's
Mason.
A wonderful actor.
Yeah, she is.
Christina Chang?
Yeah.
Chung.
Chung.
It's actually pronounced
Chang.
Yeah.
Chung. Chung Chang. She has a line of food products out, I think.
Be careful.
This is edited, right?
Listen, I did an impression of Rush Limbaugh yesterday on here. I'm sure they'll cut that out. Won't you?
I thought it was good.
Oh, okay. Leave
Keep
it in.
Keep it. The fucker deserves it. Oops, I didn't say that.
Hey, wait a second, guys.
Wasn't a bad impression.
what were you saying in his voice? You don't remember?
I was just going on about Chloe. How wonderful Chloe was.
And then the return of...
So what's happening here, Howard? Because I'm falling asleep. What's happening
Me
here?
Too. Keep it going. Come on, pick it up.
Blow something up. No, it's little girl coming back.
Jack has learned. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't watch it. Do you read the scripts?
Do you read the scripts? Yeah, I do read the scripts.
Just go like Tony, blah, 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 blah.
I read
blah.
The scripts, yeah. No, I do
Jack,
read the scripts.
Jack has found out earlier that there's actually a very small chance of a treatment, a stem
oh,
cell therapy
right.
treatment.
So they get the... It.
And this is an interesting twist, and I really have to... This was something that Kiefer weighed in on strongly and I think was right about. And it was the fact that Kim had been here all day. That she...
She's been trying to see you all day.
And it was just a real time, you know...
Yeah, it's great.
Really, really just... It's a nuance and it's a subtlety, but it actually makes a big, big difference that Kim had been here. Renee's been keeping in her back pocket this unreturned message to Jack's daughter. As always, you know, the problem and the challenge with Jack is always that, you know, since season 5, he's everyone... who's he's ever loved and he's ever wanted to be with has been lost to him. And I'm sure as an actor, you know, I think since the end of season five, it's been very challenging for Kiefer to play that part.
That's why that scene that you two had in the holding cell was so, I thought was so great.
In episode three?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in many ways, really these guys are definitely they're mirror images. I mean, they really have
lost everything.
Lost, yeah. And though Kiefer disagreed with me, my more novelistic assessment is that Kim is the one thing that may have kept him from, you know, doing what Tony did. I mean, Kiefer thinks otherwise. But I do think that Kim is a remarkably important.
Yeah, right.
Character to, mm-hmm. to Jack, who...
Well, this is great. I didn't get to see any of this. This is nice. She looks awful. So she's so unattractive.
She really is.
I'm okay. She looks just like the girl who played his daughter in season...
One.
Just a little older. She's all grown up.
Great actress, too, you know, because a lot of the stuff that I remember in the first three seasons, she was on the first three seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff that she had to play was really hard to pull off, you know, and she's, I think, really underrated as an actress because she pulled that stuff off.
I completely agree.
My favorite was getting locked in the...
In the underground shelter with Kevin Dillon.
Oh, in the t-shirt? Yeah.
Well, of course, having to play with a cougar, too. I mean, this...
And then she really got bit by it.
I know.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. It's becoming a theory... A story. John got attacked by a... In Africa, he got attacked by a lion.
Right.
It's a feline curse. Now, this was a trick. I mean, you know, this particular scene is a real trick because Jack, who has this small chance of surviving, is actually pushing his daughter away. And
right.
she's allowing
right.
herself to be pushed away. It's right. like it sort of really defies everyone's, you know,
it's a great understanding device.
But it's everyone's understanding of what people would do. Of course, he doesn't even want her to stay around and watch him die. And that's like, you know, geez, who on earth does that except Jack Bauer? And it was a hard thing to pull off. We needed it to happen in the story. We needed them to be separate.
Right. And normally it would be, you know, please save my life. No, I can't forgive you for the things you've done. And this is just the reverse.
And it's also, please, it's like, at least let me stay around and be with you. And it's like too painful for him, for his daughter to stick around. And then... It was a very, very, very fine line, and it's a high wire act, and I think they pulled it off remarkably.
To stop that from happening, it is not worth the pain for me to let you sit there and watch me die.
Daddy, I don't want to lose you.
Come here.
I don't.
Well, just get me choked up. I got three daughters.
It's gonna be all right.
What is it?
I just find it so interesting, and acting sick has got to be a very hard thing to do.
You got to be specific. That's
well, but you know, yeah. but we define this as this prion neurological right. deteriorating thing, which can be anything from palsy to tics to. Right. To memory loss and
now text would have been fun.
Fuck you, Norling. Fuck you.
Well, it's just like Andy. He has
not Tourette's.
He has to pick a specific area that his body is being struck
attacked.
By. Yeah, mm-hmm.
But it travels and migrates in the course, you know, because it's this weaponized thing. It can be like, memory loss 1 minute. It can be, you
like
know,
Peter.
It's killing him very quickly.
It's like Peter Sellers with the salute.
What was that? What's
Peter Sellers and Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, right.
Have we ever seen Jack cry?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He cried at the end of season three.
He cries all the time.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
At season one when he lost Terry,
yeah.
I think. He howled. I think
Audrey.
He howled with you. He cried when
he's a bit of a crybaby.
He does cry.
He is kind of a whiner.
Can I tell you something? He cries really well, though. I'll tell you, I know this. Okay, let me put it this way: he cries better than David Duchovny. Wow. Now, that may not be saying much, but David, when
okay,
he cried...
Okay, you watch out now. I'm going back into my Rush Limbaugh imitation.
Oh, man.
Just to save you.
This is the...
Never seen Rush Law cry?
And I do Rush.
Oh, don't kill my Chloe. Oh, don't take Chloe away from me, for God's sakes. What is this country coming to?
That's pretty good.
I'm leaving now.
I spent 2 days with the guy. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but you spent 7 years with me. You can't do me.
Yeah. I can do you. Just give me a little time. I'll work up to it.
This actor, I'm sorry, but he reminds me of younger Tracy Morgan. Or remember?
Yeah.
I just watched 30 Rock last night.
Now,
pretty
now,
funny.
Is it because you saw Tracy Morgan before him that this is a younger Tracy Morgan? Or
yes.
Or is everybody that you see after that reminds you of somebody as a younger?
That's
right?
That's an existential question. That's ontological.
I'm pretty deep.
Don't get in the chopper. Don't
I
get in the
no
chopper.
No idea what those words
mean.
Wait.
Don't get in the chopper. No,
don't get in the chopper. Don't get in the chopper. Don't get. No.
I'm gonna fuck you up, Larry. If you get in the chopper, I'm gonna fuck you up.
Okay, damn, this guy's ruthless. That's what I'm saying.
This show is violent.
You know,
Jeffrey, have your daughters seen it?
The 3-year-olds are having a problem with it. my older twins are getting pieces of it, and we're
older
and,
they?
And then I say,
they fast forward to
they're
daddy,
12 and a half, and I say, okay, hide your eyes now, and they have it.
Yeah, my daughter's never seen it. She just knows kids in her kindergarten class are coming up going,
don't get the chopper! Don't get the chopper! Oh, man.
Your daddy's got bloody nose. I saw your daddy with a bloody nose. It's scary. Kindergarten kids are watching this show. But
I know. I had somebody walk up and said, I thought you were a guy. How old are you? Fourth grader. Look at her mom going, what are you thinking? Oh, man, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. It's close. Oh, I feel the big one. I'm coming for you.
I should write an article, though, of every time I've had to tell an actor that it was time to exit stage left.
Yeah, and thanks for driving out the set, by the way.
Well,
he didn't, you know.
For what?
He let me know by the phone. He
please, so many people die on this show. He'd be driving out the set every day. Where do you draw the line?
You were actually very far with Nordling, apparently. Camarillo was too far to go.
From Chatsworth.
No,
it's
actually,
that, it's
I
that
must
20,
tell you.
It's that 20-minute drive.
Honestly, it's one of those things where you just, the day I killed you.
The day we killed him was actually out here in the parking lot, so sorry.
No,
sorry
it wasn't.
To nail you on that one.
You're absolutely wrong about that.
It was 2
the day
blocks away.
I told him 2 days before.
But you know what? That wasn't your last scene. Your last scene was often...
And it was also up to the last. We, you know, I waited to the last possible minute because I'm a procrastinator who hates
telling
confrontation.
People, yeah. I'll never forget first season with Karina. It was the first person to find out she was dying, and she found out from Guy, the cameraman guy.
Because he had read the script.
There have been some really notorious stories of people who found out they're either dead or just not coming back, and it's just
said to her, you know, Guy's the sweetest guy in the world, and he goes, hey, Karina, I just read episode 6. Sorry about that. She's like,
what?
What do you mean?
Look at this. This all works. We're sitting on a soundstage with green screen, and it all works.
The magic of...
Oh, there it is. There it is. Man, you hurt me shooting this, you know. My neck was messed up. Annie Scripps had to work on my... Because my neck seized up.
Annie had to work on his neck. His neck seized up. You see what I'm saying?
I've heard that one.
That'll leave a mark. Now,
have you ever died before, Jeffrey, on screen?
Oh, yeah.
He died 3 weeks before this on another show.
Exactly. That's why I was on 24, because I died on dirt. Now, we did push this thing across the...
Yeah, it just felt a little bit like it reminded me of a scene.
I didn't like that idea from the very
get-go. It reminded me of a scene from Batman that I'd seen. Holy
no! No!
I knew that was going to get cut out because it just felt wrong.
That was a very violent.
When I was looping this, I was gargling with water to try to get the. This is a great moment. You go, what? Light bulb.
I like that double take.
Sorry, Larry. I just wanted to get one punch in your face.
It's funny because you originally wanted me to shoot him, you know?
This
ended up being actually more violent than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, you and John both came in to me, I think, right, and said the shooting felt wrong, and we agreed, and this just much more visceral.
I mean, when the idea first came up, I sort of thought that he was a little bit further along, like he was almost dead, you know, and this made it.
Way to move your hand.
He was not quite there. I was trying to
get those last twitches, and you were just like, just die, will you?
Oh, is this when you hurt your neck in this one?
Yeah, big time. It was just guilty.
Did you wash your hands before you did that?
Me? No, I was pushing that dumpster. It,
if you look, though, you can see my nostril. I can actually breathe. Oh, there was one take that you literally were choking me, and I was hitting you, which is basically the sign to stop. And I finally ripped your hands off me, and I said, I can't breathe. I almost bit it.
You know, when you have a sign to stop, you should tell the guy
here's the sign.
Giving the sign.
It's your first fight scene, is it? Okay.
I want you to take this, find a place to hide, wait for my call.
What about you?
I'm going to wait in the FBI, figure out a way to get you out of here.
Okay, so this hasn't been ADR'd yet, obviously.
No, this is all.
Because it's driving me crazy.
Get out of here. You don't feel bad. Look at you trying to put that in there like I feel bad.
Well, I had to do that. I had to do that.
That's what he was saying. It was a mercy killing.
Like, yeah.
What?
That's it. We're done.
Bye.
And bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching.
Bye.
Thanks for coming.
Went so quickly.